哟。
All right. It's close. Effort. A for effort, right? Have you ever been part of an environment that enabled you to bring your absolute best every day? Where you were encouraged, empowered, and inspired to step up. Raise your hand if you've been part of that type of environment before. Okay, raise your hand if you have not. Okay. And I see a lot of hands just didn't go up. Either you're hungover, or raise your hand if you're hungover, or you just don't raise your hand at breakout sessions. But it is magical, though. Those of you who did raise your hand, isn't it magical when it happens? When you can have that, it's amazing, because then what I've noticed in myself and others, or those around me, and I bet you felt the same way, is that you all of a sudden have the desire to show up at work. And you find comfort to speak up and the courage to step up. That's exactly what we're going to focus on today. That is, the environment is simply culture. Really nothing more, nothing less. I think it's that, we talked a little bit about it Wednesday, it's that X factor. But it's your efforts every day that produce it. And what I want to also say right now, before we dive in, is that you don't have to be the CIO, you don't have to be the CEO, and you don't even necessarily have to be the manager to start creating your own micro culture. Similar to the way we talked Wednesday about your legacy. Raise your hand if you do have a direct report. Okay, so we have a few people who do not. So I will talk about both contexts, but just remember, it's how you show up every day, how you speak up, and how you step up creates a culture around you. Now, of course, when other people are doing the same and it's coming from the top down, then that's when the magic happens. But let me also define the focus of this session. We're not going to talk about how to transform your entire culture or create a new culture. That's a 60-day or 6-month engagement, so 60 minutes. So we're going to laser focus on one particular aspect of culture that I am very passionate about, a core value, and what I have seen from real results and real struggles on the front lines, the leadership level, and all the trenches in between that actually works. As you all might know, some of you have seen me before, my laboratory is the mountains. I go to the mountains and find out what works there and then take it back to the teams and test. 20 plus years, a lot of screw-ups, some successes. It's like children. They're like a laboratory. We can screw them up however we wish. Same with the team. How many people have you screwed up? I'm kidding. It's Friday. We've got to have a little fun. We're going to have fun, and nobody's going to stop me. Are you with me? All right. I said this last year, and I'm getting a little more comfortable starting to go into this territory, but it's still not easy. I don't know when I'll ever be fully emotionally prepared to talk about it in depth. 2008. Raise your hand if that affected you or someone you love in a negative way. I never, ever forget sitting at my desk when my direct report was staring at me and tears pouring down her face in absolute disbelief that she was packing up just her essentials, you know how it works, and then being escorted out the door. Fast forward a few months, and we're sitting in a meeting. Our team had been cut in half, essentially, the service team. 30% of our entire IT workforce was gone. And I remember seeing a star next to a couple people on the list. I said, Michael, what's the star mean? I said, what's the star mean? Dead silence. I could tell he was getting very uncomfortable. He was always good at making me uncomfortable. So I thought, I'm going to push it a little bit. I said, what does the star mean? I didn't know. He said, those are the next two people identified if we need to reduce the workforce more. So that moment, I'll never forget how it was called back, of course, to that day in February in 2009. And I thought, I am not going to let this happen again. Our culture had been shattered. I was talking to Vance Brown, the CEO of Sharewell Software. Beautiful company, by the way. Incredibly, they get the culture. and the people thing. And Vance and I were talking about that the other night. And we started talking about and trying to put our head around how strong culture is. It's like steel. It holds things together. Yet it is fragile. Sometimes it's shattered in a day, an event like that. But sometimes it just disappears or goes away. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like, what happened to us? Have you had that experience? So if we have to bring some awareness to that, we'll talk about that. I'm going to get very strategic and tactical, mostly tactical today. And again, focus specifically on courage. Because what I know is courage is contagious. And then when you have courage that's contagious, you get more commitment. People start showing up with desire. They start stepping up. They start speaking up. We're going to do that with four steps today, tactically. Here's the roadmap we're going to lay down. Number one, we're going to focus on core motivations. And not some fancy, elaborate theory that came from study of psychology, which I've got a degree in psychology. I've been through all the assessments. They're very valuable tools. But we need to be able to walk out of here and use the information immediately. Too many times I've been where you are and had that frustration. You get back, what was that one thing called? How do we do this? So I have a very simple core system to help you identify in yourself and others what's really motivating that individual. I think that's the first thing we have to do to start creating the culture. The second area we're going to focus on is then how to lead the different personalities on your team. Again, I'm going to share with you, you're going to pick up a model that's very easy to go implement. I talked about it a little bit Wednesday. It's the best one I found out of all the different types and methods that I've ever studied. You use it immediately, you can start using it in the hallway, regardless if they're a wolf or a moose or otherwise. This is critical because different personalities require, as we know, communication differently. They're motivated differently. But to lead them through risk and to help them have courage to step up and create that cultural environment, you have to address their individual needs. So the third thing we're going to focus on then is that critical connection between the individuals. And three essential questions that you need to be asking to keep that connection alive and build that connection over time with your individual team members, whether you have authority over them or not. Fourth, we're going to focus on the team aspect. So in the team environment, whether this is your team that you oversee or some team in your life, a circle of people, let's define it like this, a circle of people in which you hope to influence and help them bring their very best. What can you do consistently in that environment to create that connection between the team members? That would be the fourth area we focus on. So, let's dive right in here. The principles that I'll share with you, most of them came from my experiences in the mountains. What I found is that to take my kids and my wife and get them out of their comfort zone was very difficult compared to doing it in the workplace. In 2012, we went to South Dakota. Anybody from South Dakota in here? The Needles in the Black Hills. It's our family vacation, went climbing there. They have a lot of these beautiful granite spires that are 300 to 500 feet tall, really little bitty tabletops that are pretty scary to step up onto, very exposed. It was like go live when you pull the trigger on something and you're just waiting to see what happens next. I really had to tap into this motivational piece to understand what motivates each individual on the team. In this case, my family. What I want you to do while we go through this is, of course, first think about you. Which of these four core motivations is the one that taps into you most deeply? And then I want you to think about your team. We're going to make this interactive as well so you can connect this back to the team and to yourself. Essentially, there are four that I've narrowed it down to and try to make it simple so we can use it right away. It's called the EDGE principle. For you to lead yourself and your team past that edge, to stretch the comfort zone and get them to step up, there are four areas. Number one is E. E stands for esteem. This are those of you in the room who are motivated highly by recognition. Like when you see someone on that stage getting the Analyst of the Year award, you're just like, wow. I mean, everybody, who wouldn't want to do that, right? I know some of you may terrify, right, standing up there. But those people who are highly sensitive, highly motivated by being known as one of the best at what they do. I'm highly, highly motivated here. This is one of my biggest ones. But the interesting thing about this, it doesn't necessarily mean the person's competitive. Okay? You can have a high esteem motivator, but not necessarily be competitive one-to-one. I want everybody to be up there with me. If esteem is yours, you make a note there and put a little star beside that if esteem's a high motivator for you. The next one we see is do more. The do more motivator are those who are highly motivated just to knock out the work and crush it. Raise your hand if you have somebody on your team, hopefully several, who are highly motivated to knock things out. Task managers, they just crush it. They make great project managers. And they can't go to sleep at night unless they at least manage their to-do list. High motivator for some people. The next one is get more. It starts with a G there. The get more motivator is an old school motivator. Still a big one for a lot of people. That's the classic compensation. Those who are highly motivated by pay raises, they want to get paid more. They want to move up. And then we have the last one, also starts with an E. It is enjoy more. Now, your team members, you probably get to know them, the people in your life, you kind of get a sense of this. You'll step back and drive awareness and think about it. But sometimes you don't know the person, they're new, or you just meet them. You can count on the last one to be of power with just about everybody. Everybody in America, to some level, wants to enjoy life a little more. Would you like to be less frustrated, less stressed, and walk out of the door with some energy left over when you go in your home for your family? I mean, who doesn't want that, right? Raise your hand if you don't want any of that. Okay. Enjoy more is key. So typically it's going to be one of these will be your primary motivator, and then you'll have a close second. Also, I get this question a lot. Some people say, well, what about, you know, one time in my life I was highly motivated by get more because I needed money. I was just getting started, or my kids were going to college, or whatever. I got with their divorce, or I have a gambling habit. As we go through life, sometimes the seasons change. They always change, right? And we do see a shift different times. Different things will be more important to you. So right now, I want you to stop for a moment and write down, identify, what is your primary motivator of those? Is it esteem more? Do you want more recognition? Does it do more? Is it get more, or is it enjoy more? Which one lights you up the most? Next action here is for you to step back, drive awareness, and think about your team, the people you surround yourself with. Again, our definition, in case you're not a supervisor or leader, that circle of people who you wish to influence and help create an environment that brings out their very best. Pick one of them, and what is that core motivator for them? Now, I want to have somebody share one with me here, and I have a little prize for you. If you are courageous enough to step up, speak up, and say, hey, here's my core motivator. He raised his hand first. Yeah, thank you, Juan. So it's not uncommon, sadly. Juan's story, I'm sure here's a DVD for you. Thank you. So Juan shared that he actually left the company. I started putting some stats in. They have a bunch of research to back up what I'm saying to you today. And there was so much. I was going to make a joke and just cover a bunch of slides with thousands of words and start reading them to you. I just couldn't do it to you, especially on hangover session here. The fact is this, is there is so much research out there that back up exactly. It's not just one. Have you had that experience yourself? What did you say?
People leave their managers.
People leave their managers. That's the number one reason people leave. They don't have that connection between the manager. If with a strong connection with the manager and they create the culture that we're talking about in this session, they stay. Even if the pay is not exactly as much as they want, it has to be within reason, right? But people will run through brick walls. People will show up differently. It goes beyond pay. I think most of you know that. We have to be in the neighborhood, though, of course. But more and more, especially generationally as well, most of the younger generation are highly motivated by the enjoy, especially, and esteem. Do more, get more is not as strong. Anyone else? Esteem? Raise your hand if that was your primary one. We'll do a quick poll here. I think 35% of the room or so. How about do more? Got some do mores in here. Good. Good, productive folks. We need that. Doesn't mean we're not productive for esteem more, by the way. As long as you recognize me, I'm going to crank it. How about to get more? Who's still motivated by that one? For whatever reason. No right or wrong. It's like, you know what? I'd like to make a little more money. Good, good.
Are you like,
okay. Yeah. Sure. Right. You can be both. Absolutely. How about the enjoy more? Hand up. Pretty much everybody. Okay. Excellent. Awesome. Yes, sir. Sure. Which one would I put what?
Yeah, if you wanted
More power? Pretty much under esteem. But it also depends on to what end. So I would sit down and ask that person, because here's my point of all this, is ask, if you don't know, ask the team member. If you're not sure about yourself, ask yourself or with a friend, what's behind that? Is it you want more power? Is that connected to money, or is that connected to the recognition, or is that connected to the enjoyment? So it goes a little deeper. But typically it'd be under esteem, but not necessarily. Different people want power for different reasons. So as an example, Mr. John, the keynote speaker, he wants more power for what reason? Do more good, but what else? Yesterday's morning keynote speaker. Which one do you think he's highly motivated by? Get enjoy, but, well, lifestyle. But my opinion is get more is a big one, right? I think to be that productive and financially, he has to have been highly motivated by making cash, and which he does very, very well. So now he's enjoying the lifestyle. So I encourage you to go back to your team. One of the gentlemen, I'm going to call him Ricky Bobby affectionately because I don't want to use his real name, because I am changing the name to protect the innocent, because I never told him that he was on the list. But I made it my goal to make sure that he was still there. He's still the organization. And we completely turned him around. It wasn't just me, my manager, service desk manager. But what it took, here was the breakthrough moment. It was this EDGE principle. Greg and I, manager, and I sat down with him, with Ricky Bobby, and asked him, what motivates you? We haven't got you figured out. He's one of these ones, he was just kind of totally disengaged, just barely showing up physically. And he said, you know what? I'm very competitive. He was very quiet, introverted. I never would have guessed it. Very competitive, which is linked to esteem primarily. Once we figured that out, we were able to light him up. And then we got him promoted and a pay raise. And the only stars next to his name were ones of glory. So we got to know that. We got to ask him, what is that core motivator? Let's talk about the second step. And that is, once we understand the deep core motivation, how do we connect with that individual personality and meet them where they are? Raise your hand if you were in my session Wednesday. Okay, we have a few people. So we're going to cover the same core framework quickly, and then we're going to take it in a different direction and use that same framework. Help me with the review process. So if you're in there Wednesday, I'm going to count on you to have remembered some of it and also prove the point that we need to review this stuff over and over to really internalize it and use it. But we're going to look at that through that lens to understand, how do we meet that person and motivate them? What do they need to step out of their comfort zone and drive that courage culture that we want? So, a lot of systems out there, all validated, most of them. Most of them are very effective. The challenge I have with just about every single one, but this one, is that when I walk out of the classroom or the certification or the psychologist or psychiatric office, and I go try to use that information, I found it very challenging. That's after deep study. Not to mention if you're just in somewhere for 60 minutes and you saw a bunch of great other material, then you go home, you recover from your hangover. So this is a simple system. It's really based on two observations and questions. With those questions, you then can get an understanding of where the person sits and how to connect with them, and then how to lead them to more courage. It's based on Dr. Tony Alessandra's system called the Platinum Rule. Great book, $10. He has an audio program as well. You can get it on Amazon if you want to study it deeper. Relationship strategies. Using the Platinum Rule to create rapport is the official title when it was originally released. I believe it's the best of its kind anywhere. And I think you'll see what I mean. If you have not exposed to it yet, when you see his labels he uses, you'll go, oh yeah, I get it. There's no fancy animals, colors, triangles, or anything. It just makes sense. So observation question number one is, are they direct and fast-paced or more indirect and slow-paced? So think of yourself first. Slower-paced individuals plot on the lower half of the quadrant. Faster-paced, top half. Next observation, only two questions. The second one is observation question two. Is the person more task-oriented? That's going to put you on the left-hand side, or more relationship-focused? Sorry about that. Relationship-focused puts you on the right-hand side. So, top to bottom, slow pace, up is fast. Think up, faster. Left side, task. Right side, relationship-focused. Yes. Oh, the name of the book and the branded title of how he sells this, or the book and everything, is called The Platinum Rule. The reason he called it The Platinum Rule, he said, the golden rule, right? We know that, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But what Tony said, what really amplifies and takes us to the next level is when we treat others the way they want to be treated. So the Platinum Rule, the audio program is called Relationship Strategies. Tony Alessandra, as an Italian gangster from New York. I know him personally now, and he fits the role. He fits the name. He's a good guy, though. He says, oh, yeah, you can use my stuff all you want, huh? Just attribute me in the room, okay, and I won't come after you. So got it, Tony. Don't break my legs. Top left, fast-paced, task-oriented, the director. This is why I love his system. It makes sense. I get it, right? You know that. When you see that word, you go, oh, yeah, the director, of course. Hard-hitting, direct, fast-paced individuals. Get her done. That's my blue-collar version, because I'm from Kentucky. Save time and money is the high motivator. They want to know what is the bottom line. Then we have right, top right, socializer. Fast-paced, relationship-focused. They liked the party up last night. They're probably the most hungover this morning. Very focused on team. These are people who thrive in even a one, two-person team, three-person team. They don't do as well in isolation. You don't see a whole lot of developers, very analytical people in this box. They're very typically, talking about, let's call back to the edge principle for a moment. They are typically very motivated by the esteem. Not always, but that's usually connected to esteem. Slow-paced, task-oriented, to get it right. Detail focus. We need these people. That's how we fly rockets and solve those tough incidents and invent amazing things, build crazy cities like Vegas. Save money, time. They're most motivated, though, by having accurate decisions. They really need things to be accurate and that just close enough doesn't cut it for them. That drives them nuts. So we need to give them the space and the time to have that integration happen in their mind and think it through. They can still be very efficient, very effective. Bottom right, slow-paced, relationship-focused, what Tony calls the relator. Simple word, no animals needed, love it. But people who like to connect, lots of relators at HDI, guarantee it. Let's do a quick poll, see where you stand, literally. If you feel like you're the director, fast-paced, task-oriented, stand up for me. Okay. Stand up quickly like you do. I'm here, got it, next point, let's go. This is good stuff, keep going. We've got the directors here, excellent. The director's what they want, and I know you're in the session today. What do you want? Is it Niv? Is that how you say it? Niv. What do you want as a director? What do you need more of from your people?
I need more doers and thinkers.
Doers, thinkers, and bottom line, right? And what you don't do, you get tired of hearing about how great, what all went on while you were gone?
Yeah, doesn't interest me.
Right, you want to know?
Get right down to it.
Exactly. Right. Give it me straight, that's what they need, right? Okay, so go ahead, directors, you can sit down now. Give me the bottom line fast so we can get on with it. Top right, fast-paced, relationship focus. Stand up and go, oh yeah, if you're a socializer. Oh yeah, woo! All right. Socializers in the house, good stuff. Okay, you sit down. They're like, oh, I'm ready to dance. They're a little tired, I can tell. Usually they stand up and they're talking to their friends next door. The socializer needs that fun environment. Polar opposites, by the way, here are the most challenging to connect, right? The thinker and the socializer, because socialize, have you ever been aggravated by a thinker who's really serious and they're focused and they take their time, right? You're like, come on, loosen up, lighten up, man. This doesn't have to be perfect. It's just a server, push the button, let's go. How about bottom left? If you're slower paced, task-oriented, stand up for me, please. Thinkers, don't think about it, just stand up. There we go. They're like, if I stand up. All right. The thinkers need, you can sit back down. I know it's early, it's Friday. Thinkers, what do you want, thinkers? They're thinking about it. Should know better than ask the thinkers what they're thinking about. Let me think about that for a second. They want the space to integrate and to think. Getting them out of their comfort zone can be the most challenging of all these groups. And I'll give you a great example in a moment of that. Bottom right, where's my relators? Slower pace, relationship focus, stand up for me, relators. Okay. Which of you relators wants to give me a hug? There we go, baby. Only at HDI. Some conferences I get canned on the spot for that. Like, don't touch people. I might not be a good fit for you. The relators, you can sit down now. Awesome. I'll get some more hugs later. Relators, of that personal connection, they build those great relationships. They build advocacy for your team. They'll get out of the comfort zone if they trust you. And they'll bring that courage to the table. They'll help create that culture. That's what you need. So write down which one you are if you haven't already. Which one's your core area? And I want you to step back and identify for one of those team members. Especially one that you know is flying under the radar. That team member who you, whether you have authority over them or not, but you see more potential in them and you want them to help them step up, where do you see them landing in that zone at work? Make a little note there. Now, here's the bottom line, directors. You'll appreciate this. In this context, this conversation, to create a culture with more courage where people are stepping up and taking more risk, stretching their comfort zone consistently, if they're a director, we need to focus on the results. They want to know, if I do this, what's it going to get me? What's at risk? Not the emotional suffering and the stress, but I just want to bottom line. What do we have to gain? What do we have to lose? Period. Next. Or that direct. Then we have socializers. Socializers need a team, group, herd support. I mean herd in a good way. I mean tribe. I mean surrounded with people that will have fun, and even if it's a struggle, that they can share that struggle with. The more, the better. So take a wild guess for me. I'll build it on the next one. So we have thinkers. They need the details. They want to know exactly, if this goes down, how many seconds or minutes is it going to take to get it back up, to go to our backup contingency plan? Technically, what exactly does that look like? So the last one's the relator. What do you think the relator needs to get out of their comfort zone and develop that culture of courage? Personal connection. You nailed it. Exactly. Personal connection. They need you. They need you, and they need the other team members, not necessarily in a big group, but they want that individual connection. They thrive on it. If they don't have it, they will leave. I stayed at Build-A-Bear for 11 years through so many roller coasters. That's just one story where our culture was blown up, and we'd rebuilt it over and over through multiple teams over the years. But I stayed for this. I worked for the same boss, my boss Michael, for 11 years. They said, why'd you stay so long? Man, it's been a crazy ride, Manly. We've gone from 40 stores to 400. This has been wild. Why'd you stay? I said, Michael. And people who didn't get along with him had left for the same reason. They were like, really? I said, absolutely. It was that personal connection. So, your primary style, everybody has that written down? Primary style and your team members. Now, let me introduce you to my team. For the vertical portion, where I've applied this the most and then learned and applied it in the work environment. But we're going to do a review here. So, this young man's name's Manly version 3.0, my son. He's that team member for me, typically, who shows up and is like, Dad, I'm ready to rock it. Let's go. I'm on. Let's go. I'm on belay. I got your back. Ready to rock and roll. He always comes to the table that way. This morning was different, though. We were in the Black Hills in South Dakota. We get climbing. We climbed 150 feet through a little gully, and then we approached this section of climbing, 150 feet, dead vertical. And right in here, as you can see, it's a pretty challenging section, but he got very frustrated. That team member that's just like, you know, they're just not on that day, right? And he said, Dad, right in this section, he said, I'm not on today. I don't want to be here. I want you to lower me down. I'll wait down in the notch. And you all go on. I said, come on. You can do this. We did a much harder route the other day. Push back again. I said, son, you remember when we got on the top? We summited Spire 2. He stopped. I could see it shift in his eyes a little bit. I said, tell me about what did you think about that? What was it like? That I thought that was amazing. He starts describing the summit. Which personality style do you think my son is? Very focused on the summit. Director. Because the director is very focused on what starts with the big R? Results. You got it. Several of you said it, but I heard it loud and clear right here. What's your name?
Thank you. Hussein.
Hussein. Nice to meet you, sir. That's right. He's the director. He's results focused. He's focused on the summit. What's it going to get us? Or what happens if we don't get there? Next team member, Miss Lizzie. 12 years old. She was out here with me in Vegas last month at a conference and got to do some climbing. She thrives by being around her friends. She's very worried about being accepted. Which style do you think she is? Exactly, socializer. So what does she need to get out of her comfort zone? Team. She doesn't do much solo. She needs, you nailed it. She needs, who said team over there? Okay. Here we go. Can you catch me here? Oh, yeah. Now, Miss Emily has been put up with me for 22 years now. Gray hair, migraines to show it too. I love her. So, which one do you think? She's the hardest one to get out of the comfort zone. I said it a moment ago. Which one is she? What do you think?
Thinker.
Thinker, exactly. You're thinking, well, I know you, so maybe she's the thinker. She's a thinker. Who said thinker? Who said thinker? Was it you? Are you thinking about raising your hand? Miss Emily's a thinker. So what does Miss Emily need to get out of her comfort zone? She needs more of what? Details. She needs the details. How many feet is it? How many pitches? What's the weather? What's the difficulty? That section? Is there a run out? Is there good protection to catch us? You know, she wants to know all those little details. How much water do we have? Do we have enough cliff bars? So what's the last one here? Relator. Who's the relator on the team? You got it. What do I need? Personal connection. Exactly. What'd you say? Hugs. I need hugs. I didn't know what you said. Drugs, I thought. That too. See all the above. I'm just kidding, y'all. Okay. Manly gets to this section. I always talked about the struggle there. There's no way he could move through that. He was frozen up with fear as well, and that's probably part why he got frustrated. We get right here. I like this photo because you can truly see what I talk about in almost every session I do, because I think it's the most critical point of this whole conversation is this little tool right here and what's going on with our hands. This is the belay device, B-E-L-A-Y. It's a simple tube of metal, essentially. We put the rope through it. One piece of the rope comes to the person who's holding that rope for him. In this case, I'm holding the rope for him. The other end goes to him, of course. For Manly to be able to climb and step out of his comfort zone, essentially he's stepping up and out, right? He's getting up there, stretching himself. I have to give him just enough rope so that he can lead out, or in this case, that he can lead him up, pull that rope in. If I leave too much slack out and he falls, he's going to get hurt. Have you ever had a team member, you just gave him too much slack, and then there's a bigger impact if they blow it, right? Sometimes, though, you ever had a leader who held you back? Maybe Juan or someone like that. You ever had that leader who has you on belay, but you can't even hardly move? No empowerment, no trust is there. But what happens when you fall? If Manly falls here, I kept telling him, I said, I got your back, son. Go, go, I got you. If you fall, I'm going to lock that rope off. I'm on it. You can do this. Encouragement, assurance. It enables us to move forward. That, I believe, is the most critical thing we need more of in our life. How do we get that? Two key questions I talked about on Wednesday. Who remembers the two questions? What's the first one? Ask yourself who needs on belay. You, right? You've got to make sure your belay is good first. Who in your life do you need? And reach out to them. Simple. Quick question. A quick text. Hey, how you doing? What's going on in your life? Then secondly, reach out to someone and get them on belay and say, hey, I got your back. So every single day, who you need, pick a person and pick another person that they need you. In both cases, you're serving them, though. Now, a lot of you say, well, hey, I'm in the world of service. I'm connecting with people all day long. Are you doing it intentionally and consistently or just inbound? We have plenty of inbound. So this leads me to the third step, that critical connection. I want to go deeper into the concept so that you can leverage this in those one-on-one meetings to establish that belay at a deeper level and make that connection. Three essential questions. Now, how frequently, I have this question typically first. Okay, how often do I need to be doing this? How often do you think you need to be having a one-on-one conversation where you truly keep building that belay at a deeper level with the people in your life? How often do you think you need to do that? Weekly, excellent. What else? Every day. Depends on the person. That's true to some extent. I think it depends on where the person is in their life, okay? But too often when I've done transparency here, they're the superstars. I say, well, I got them. You ever had this happen? Like you taking care of the ones who are really struggling? Meanwhile, one of your superstars suddenly falls off. So I agree, but we have to be careful there too. Because I've screwed that up. Like I said, I've screwed a lot of people up. So daily, weekly, and monthly are all right answers. But what I would encourage you to do is do it more and be consistent. What's the word? Consistent. Here's what I would encourage you. At the very least, the one-on-one door close or private spot, get away from the distractions. weekly at least, for your immediate reports or those people in your circle that you want to take to the next level, weekly. But the daily quick check-in, right? That's a quick text message. You're going, hey, man, how you doing today? What's going on? I got your back. I'm on belay. Whatever the phrase is for you. If you're more of a director, maybe you feel more comfortable saying, what's getting in the way? You doing all right? Seem like you're not really bringing it like you usually do. What's the problem? But you're checking in. That needs to happen daily. I just find this challenging to be consistent with it. We're human. Weekly, one-on-one privately, and monthly we need to go deeper. Once you get good at it, the weekly can be 20 minutes, 15 to 20. That's the number one excuse I always had is, oh, I'm too busy right now. I got this going on, that going on, live, this, problems, incidents, got to find a new hire, I got an interview, we're busy, got budget. So, it's all about consistency. We talked about that Wednesday as well. Consistency. Here are the three key essential questions. When you do that belay connection, number one, asking them, where do you think you could stretch your comfort zone? Where are you settling? Where are you comfortable right now? First question, driving awareness. Where do you feel like, coaching, we're going to coach here essentially, right? Where do you think you could stretch your comfort zone? Now, sometimes if they have good awareness, with self-awareness and clarity, they will probably have a good sense of this. But more often than not, it's going to take your leadership skills, whether you have the title or not, to help them. That's what great leaders do. Like my friend Rich I talked about Wednesday, regardless of title, they have a sense and it can look at you and say, I know you, Donald. I know that here's where I see you having potential and help you. They pull that out of you. So you may have to do that. But always ask them, give them the opportunity. First question, awareness. Second question, advantage. Once we identify an area that they're settling and they need to stretch their comfort zone, who and what do you need to support and protect you? Not who or what, but who and what. The who is first for a reason on the slide and in the sentence. Who? Who's that blade? Who's the connection? Who's that person you need to connect to help you get out of this comfort zone and get on belay with? Secondly, what exactly? What tools will help you? Are there tools or resources, books, seminars, training, technical tools, a tweak to the incident system? What's the what that will help you? To support and protect you. Next, the third question, essentially, let's get into action. Ask them, though, right? What actions will you execute? What are you committed to stretch specifically? It's a coaching model, but I'm focused in, zeroing in on the courage, the comfort zone, because it produces results, bottom line. By the way, this is based on my belief, and I don't want to get spiritual on you, but whatever you believe, this is my belief, is that if we're still here and we're alive, we have something else to bring, something else to give. There's more to it. And I feel compelled, and I think all of us have a responsibility to bring the best of ourselves out of ourselves while we're here and to help others do the same. So how can we help them get out of that comfort zone and stretch it and expand it? What specifically are they willing to execute on? Maybe it's a little bitty step, but at least they're moving forward with consistent action. I got him at least moving forward. Manly comes around this corner. Go to the second section of climbing. Pretty easy climbing here at the bottom. But then he approached the true technical crux. Most difficult section of the entire route was right here. What's interesting about it is even though it was much harder than the section he got frustrated in, he went right through it. I believe what was going on in his mind is he was thinking about what? The summit, the result. He was gunning for the summit. He crushed it. Then he walked over to this last little section. This is this interesting piece of rock here. There's a 300-foot tower and another, like a 500-foot tower sitting right next to it. And they sit side by side. There's like this elevator shaft, essentially right here, a 500-foot drop between these two towers. And the space between them, about 4.5 feet. Now, I'm 6'3". When I got to it and I'm on lead, I'm like, here's how you do it. So will you hold the edge of that table for me?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't practiced this. I meant to do this beforehand. So here we go. Here's basically what you do. You got to fall into it, right? I do it. Manly comes up. He does it. It's an easy move. If you were standing here with me, you'd all try that. No big deal, right? But when there's 500 foot of air down there, makes you think. Lizzie comes up next. She gets upset at first. Manly and I are sitting on the summit. There's a team waiting for her. We encourage her. Lizzie, come on. We're waiting for you. We need you up here with us. Because I know I have a socializer on the other end of the line. She makes the move. Poor Lizzie was shorter. For her, it was she was almost completely parallel to the ground. I mean, she's fully stretched out to make it. Now, I was focused on making sure I had a good belay for them, of course. They're not insured under life insurance, so I couldn't drop them. Glad you laughed. My wife is here. She wouldn't be laughing. She'd be like, no, she would. She's like, yeah, you're the one that has the big policy, buddy. Why do you think I encourage you to go climbing? So, Lizzie makes the leap. And I was focused, so I didn't get good video. But there was another party climbing nearby. Okay, so I have a little video. I want to show you this because I was able to get in a better position. There's a young lady who has her young boyfriend on belay holding her rope. And she's going to make the leap, but she's very anxious. An interesting little lesson here. I want to see if you pick it up, but I think you'll be entertained and see more about this. It's the crux, okay? But it's not the most difficult piece of this. It's just mental. You ever notice that? Sometimes the most difficult things are not the technically most difficult. What's interesting is her young boyfriend, with all due respect, I don't know if you heard him, but he was like, what are you going to do, sleep there? Those of you who, are you with me? I would be willing to bet, even in Vegas, that they're probably not together anymore. So, I'm glad I was there because you heard what I was doing. It's simple, right? I was encouraging her. I said, you got this, Becky. Come on. I met her like 2 minutes before. It doesn't even take that deep relationship, just the encouragement at the right time. Then you build a relationship with the consistent belay, and you can accomplish amazing, amazing things. Yeah, you can't even imagine what's possible in your life. I promise you, it just seems so simple. But when it's consistent, try it, trust me. And just watch what shows up in your life. Let's talk about the fourth step here. There's Miss Emily. Get her credit. She came across, never looked down, and just went for it. She's not really tall either. It was pretty challenging for her. Now, let's talk about expanding this to the team. How do we then drive this at a team level? We certainly need to build it first, I believe, individually. Now, in a team environment, how can we amplify that effect? Four questions. Here's what I would encourage you to do at team meetings. By the way, in a lot of my sessions, I'll encourage you at the end of action items and say, pick one and do it. Just please do one. In this case, culture, there's a little more to it, to say the least. I really encourage you to do all four of these steps. Understand the motivations, know the personality and what they need, connect to the individual level with those core questions to have them identify the comfort zone and where they're going to get out of it, and then do this team exercise as well. Simple, though. Add this to the team meeting. It just takes about a minute per person to share the struggles and recent summits. So team meeting, give them an opportunity to say, number one, so we're going back to that individual belay. Here was the comfort zone I identified with my manager recently. And I was terrified. You know, he asked me to go. Donald asked me to go to the meeting and share an update. And I was terrified to stand up and say anything in front of people. That was my comfort zone. He pushed me out of it. And that was my comfort zone. So the next thing you would encourage the team member to share is, what did you like best about that? Reflecting on it, LBs liked best. I liked this best about it. And let them express that in their own words. Step three, NTs. So LBs and NTs. Essential two debriefing questions. NTs is next time. Not, I screwed this up, I sucked, I hated this, but next time, here's what I would do differently. Or better. Every time after I do a program for you all or anyone else, I sit down and really try to dump, brainstorm. What could I do better? Next time I'll do this, I wish I had done this. But here's what I like best. I like this best, here's next time what I'm going to do differently. And then the fourth step is to celebrate big, but brief. Why brief? First of all, let me ask you this and step back for a moment. Do you think you celebrate the little summits? Because sometimes it doesn't take I climb little boulders sometimes too. I climb multi-day things and whatever I can get my hands on. If it's a little rock, I'll climb a little rock. So little summits every day, right? Do you feel like you celebrate them enough? No. So celebrate big. But have you ever had this happen? You ever been on the summit? You're like, woohoo, we're good, we got it, got on the summit. I got to get on something else because it's the last day. You get up there, the team's there. You're like, woohoo, yes, yes, we got it. We got it all dialed in. The metrics look good. And then next week, bam, get knocked right off of your summit, right? So what I've learned the hard way in the mountains is lightning, storms, We get up, celebrate briefly, get down, move on. But it builds momentum on the summit. So we did that very thing, and there's my man. They're applauding. Woo! All right. Manly version 3, he's all lit up. He's on the summit. He sees the result. He's basking in the glory. Of course, Lizzie leads the team celebration, right? The socializer. You see it on her face, right? She's like, woo! And then where's the thinker? She's like, when are we getting down? I told you I wasn't going to do this anymore. She said last summer that she officially retired from climbing. We'll see. She's thinking about it. Questions. Here's what I'm going to do now. Questions, and then we're going to do a quick debrief on what you felt most inspired, what resonated with you most, and then I have a close that I promise you don't want to miss. So, questions. Who has a question that we can answer? And if we run out of time, I'm happy to give you all of my time and energy after we close the session up. So questions, then we're debrief, then I'll close. Who has a question? Okay. Here, I've had the same challenge. I had to manage up. There's a lot of phrases for it. Lead up. Michael took some development, and I was here. I reported to him, right? But here's number one, you need to build a relationship with him. And just like the gentleman, the wine to water guy, right? It's about building a relationship. Even if they have a machine gun in their hand and they're that person in the organization. I mean, if you hate them, if you can avoid them, just avoid them. I used to say, I'll go for it, but if you really, really don't like them, try to avoid them, but sometimes it's unavoidable. Hopefully the person is your immediate supervisor you don't hate, or you probably wouldn't still be there. So let's say you, even though they have a rifle in their hands, you see something, you focus on something about them that you can appreciate, and then go to lunch. Try to get away from the normal environment. This helps as well. Try to go to lunch with them or have a drink with them or whatever it is, bowling, I don't know, whatever they like to do. But get out of the normal environment. That often will disarm them. They walk off the battlefield, perhaps they drop those guns and grenades they've been throwing at you. That helps. And then, ultimately, what you're trying to do is serve them. What can I do for you? How can I help you? Individually, personally, professionally, that's the key question. Don't ask that till you build a relationship, right? Because they'll just say, oh, I'm good. Especially if they got a lot of guard. But every person, I don't care if they're General Patton or anyone in between, everyone has a heart. Everyone has something they need. Everybody wants to be appreciated, whether they report to you or not. So I'm glad you asked the question. Don't let the vertical and horizontal boundaries limit these outbound efforts and this culture that you create around you and with your team. It's not about title. You're building trust beyond title. It's not about position. You're leading beyond position. Leadership beyond position, trust beyond title, commitment beyond circumstance is what happens next. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead. Now get right back there. Yes, ma'am. I used to be a Teamster. In college, I worked at UPS, and I was a Teamster in the union. It's a tough environment. I don't have a magic bullet for you. What I know is this, because I have been in historically one of the toughest union environments ever, other than like the 1900s, I guess, right, or the 1800s. But it's still about relationships. And there's going to be a thicker wall, and there's going to be all this, and I'm not pro or against unions, but what I hate anything that gets in the way of or is used as a crush or as an excuse, but they're still a human. It's still about human connection. So I think if you connect with them on a personal level and get them out of the environment, as long as it's within, you need to be aware of the union regulations. I know you deal with that a lot. Do you feel like if you had a more personal relationship with the person, would that help?
I know it would, but
they're not interested. They're not interested? Well, my next answer is get rid of them. But she's in a union shop, and that's not easy, right? Can we talk offline? I have some other ideas, but I think for the nature of time, and it's not an easy solution. You know that, or you wouldn't have brought it up. But I have some ideas that I'm happy to share with you. Let me grab this one over here. What was the question? Yes. You have to build the relationship first, of course. This is challenging because you have to have that crucial conversation or that uncomfortable conversation. And here's another moment when I'm going to be super transparent. I really wasn't very good at this initially because I'm a relator. I want people to like me. So having that uncomfortable conversation is something I put off. I know this and you know it too. We probably all know this. The longer you put it off, the worse it's going to be. The best way you can handle this is say, how do you feel like you did, right? Wouldn't you ask, but I would have bet knowing you, you've probably already asked that question. Are they just completely delusional? They think they're rocking it? And you've reality checked them, what do they say? I said, can we go offline on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hallway, we'll extend it on the phone, whatever we need to do, because I have some ideas, but it's going to take a little more than the couple of minutes we have left. Thank you. Okay, we have one question here and here, and we'll go, and then I'll do my close. Yes, sir. Until he retires. I wish I had the hero answer here. When they're 2 years from retirement and they're coasting, you can only coast downhill, right? Like you pointed out, I would put your energy into someone else on the team. As long as you said he was competent. I noticed that. You said he's competent. He's doing a good job. Let him do his job at the capacity he has, if you can afford to, and until he retires. I know that seems like, I mean, I'm just telling you because I've tried to, I think the same, because here's what I think will happen based on experience. You put the same energy into him, into someone else who's potentially on the way up, and you have, it's not because you only have 2 years left with him. It's just that mindset is so hard to crack. But can I take that one offline too as well? I want to get to one more, but I would try to invest that energy in someone else. I know it's not a very politically popular answer, but that's my honest answer. Is it a short one? Great, wonderful, and then I'll help you offline too.
I'm a lead.
Number one reason we don't delegate is what is...
You're
a doer, right. Why don't you delegate more? What's your number one reason, you think?
Trust.
Trust? Because you could do what? You could do it better. And here's the catch to this. She's probably right. This is the hardest part about this particular challenge. She probably could do it better. Here's the key. Who could do it adequately? Because I was the same way. I'm kind of a perfectionist, excellence. Like, who could do it? Some things can't be adequate. They have to be at the very best level. But there are certain tasks that can be done adequately. That was the key for me in 1996, when my first management seminars. Total takeaway, aha moment, was worth the entire price of admission. Identify the person who can do it adequately. Okay, I want to hear two or three. Just what was the single thing that you picked up that was the light bulb moment? The oh yeah, raise your hand, share with us quickly. I will give you a carabiner here, and then I'll do my close for you. So what was that oh yeah moment? Ms. Beth said the personality styles, the platinum rule. Okay, excellent. What else? A little noisy here. Every milestone, right? So those sections on the climb when we stop and bring the rope up, bring up the team, milestone, boom. Let's celebrate. How we doing? Quick water, reassess, check the route, check the project plan. Wonderful, thank you. How about one more? What was the, oh yeah, all the way to the back. Here you go. I'll get back to you in a second. Thank you, sir. What was your name?
Tong.
Tong said, celebrate big but brief. And his CEO said the same thing. So, let me do this quickly here. If you want to build some momentum, I always do this for every single session I do. In 6 to 8 weeks, we'll get together again on a webinar or telephone, and we'll see what's going on, what's working for you. I'll give you some other content I didn't have time to deliver, what questions you have as well. I'll give you an updated copy. I did change the slide significantly based on my getting up at 3 a.m. and skipping the party last night. Hopefully it's better than it was before. And I'll also grab a card out of there and do a one-on-one coaching on Blade with you. If you want to be part of that, build some momentum, drop off a business card or connect with me afterwards. I was in San Antonio, Texas in 2012. And it was September, this gal walks in the door, and it was a very unusual moment because she really lit up and she ran up to the front of the room and wanted to give me a hug. She said, Manly, my name's Deborah, do you remember me? And I said, I remember you, Deborah. She said, April, right? I said, yeah, I remember you. She said, I got to tell you that my life, let me just tell you this. You know, when I met you in April, you didn't know this because I sat in the back and I was quiet, but I was really, really struggling. But I want you to know that I did what you said. I try to step back and I try to step out and bring more of my best every day and surround myself with those people on Belay. And she goes, most importantly, I want you to know that I got a promotion and I got a raise. And life is better than when we met. That's what I want for you. That our paths cross again. Maybe it's in this conference or somewhere in your life, and that we can have that same conversation. Because here's what happens. When you do that consistently, when you reach out and you build those Belay connections, you ask the right questions, you think with awareness, what personality do I have in front of me? How can I connect with that person in the way that they want me to connect to them? When we do that consistently, not only will you reach the summit, but your team is going to be with you, whether they report to you or not. Because people are watching you. They're going to watch you, especially when you come back from this conference, and see if you're perky or you're hungover. Fortunately, we have the weekend to recover. But Monday, they're watching you. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, how are you showing up? When you step on the summit, your team will be with you there. Here's the most beautiful part of this story. You remember Manly's struggle, right? Number one team guy, he said, no, I'm done. We're on the summit. I'll never, ever forget this moment as long as I live. He taps me on the shoulder. He said, Dad, what about that one over there? Can we climb that one next? Can we climb that one next? I cannot wait to hear about the one that you climb next. Someone you could live.